Hi, I'm Tony Alessandra, and welcome to People IQ, where we focus on applying the platinum rule in your business and professional life. The most important step toward raising your People IQ and practicing the platinum rule is to adapt your behavior to treat others the way they want and need to be treated. Today, we're discussing the importance of presentation skills. The number one fear of most adults, even above the fear of death, is speaking in public. Yet the ability to present to groups of people is a skill which can make a critical difference in your career and in your ability to share information, ideas, experience, and enthusiasm with others. A study conducted by AT&T and Stanford University revealed that the top predictor of professional success and upward mobility is how much you enjoy public speaking and how effective you are at it. Actually, almost all of our speaking, outside the shower anyway, is public speaking. It's just the size of the audience that changes. Public speaking can take many forms. Presentations to a large audience in a public forum, presenting a proposal to a conference room of people, or addressing one other person in a formal environment, such as a sales presentation. The effective presenter establishes herself as an expert to whom individuals can turn to for advice. Most of us have experienced more than our share of boring presentations. After what seems like hours, we still don't know what message we're supposed to get. Maybe the speaker put us to sleep with his monotone presentation, or we couldn't read the small writing on the slides, which didn't seem to match up at all with what the speaker was trying to say. To avoid being the source of a sleeper presentation, you need to build your presentation skills. This program will give you some simple guidelines to overcoming stage fright and preparing for and delivering a successful presentation. Almost every speaker, actor, musician, and performer experiences stage fright. You know, that feeling of sweaty palms, jelly knees, and a stomach filled with butterflies. While the fear never really goes away entirely, professionals know that you can make the butterflies fly in formation. In other words, you could learn to manage your fear. First, you must understand that stage fright is a very normal reaction. Cicero, the brilliant Roman orator, here's what he wrote. "I turn pale at the outset of a speech and quake in every limb and in all my soul." It even affected the great communicator, Sir Winston Churchill, who compared his pre-speech anxiety to a 9-inch block of ice sitting in the pit of his stomach. Now, if these famous speakers were so affected by speech anxiety, it makes sense that for the novice presenter, the audience might as well be made up of cannibals. The clues to the speaker's terror include a quaking voice, trembling knees, lack of eye contact, erratic pacing or rocking back and forth, stomach butterflies, pronounced monotone voice, and a blank facial expression. These conditions are evidence that the speaker is so overwhelmed with self-consciousness that he's lost control of the communication process. Now, you can overcome stage fright if you're ready to approach it with the right attitude. The way you look at yourself, the audience, the subject, preparation, delivery, and the anxiety itself has a direct impact on how you'll feel when you start your presentation. Developing the right presentation attitude can help you convert the grinding fear that paralyzes you into a positive anxiety that keeps you sharp and motivates you to be the best presenter you can be. Stay tuned, because up next are my 10 tips for overcoming stage fright. Welcome back to People IQ. I'm Tony Alessandra, and we're talking about presentation power, learning proper techniques and concepts on presenting your message effectively. Remember that stage fright is normal. Sometimes just admitting that you're feeling anxiety helps relieve it. You should also remember that you're the expert. The reason you're in a position to speak publicly is because of your knowledge of the subject. The people who asked you to speak believe that you have something of value to share. The people attending the meeting believe that they will receive information of value. Therefore, your primary duty is to understand what your audience needs to know and prepare the message and supporting materials in a way that delivers your message clearly and powerfully. Make a strong, wholehearted commitment to your audience. Concentrating on them and their needs will help you forget about your own self-consciousness. Here's 10 tips for overcoming stage fright. First, know your material well. Be the expert. Second, practice your presentation. Do a pilot test, and if possible, videotape yourself. Third, get the audience to participate. Fourth, establish rapport by using names and eye contact. Fifth, always check the facilities and audiovisual equipment in advance, well in advance. Sixth, research your audience. Get acquainted with at least one person in the audience. Seventh, relax. Breathe deeply. Visualize yourself successfully presenting your message to the audience. Eighth, dress comfortably and appropriately. Ninth, use your own style. Don't imitate someone else. And 10th, use audiovisual aids to prompt you and make a visual impact on the audience. The success of your presentation is determined primarily by the time you spend preparing before you step in front of your audience. A good presentation requires careful planning, and lack of planning is always apparent. Sure clues of a poor presentation are speeches that are too long, too detailed, too confusing, vague, boring, or off track. You can produce short, powerful presentations if you systematically prepare beforehand. The often overlooked first and most critical step in preparation is understanding the what and the why of your presentation. In other words, its purpose. Your purpose should be the broad general outcome that you want the presentation to achieve. Here are three questions that you can ask yourself to clarify the objective of your presentation. Why am I giving this presentation? What do I want the audience to know or do at the end of the presentation? How do I want the audience to feel at the end of the presentation? After you have a statement of purpose, you must consider how to mold your presentation to fit the specific characteristics of your audience. The more time you devote to analyzing your audience beforehand, the less you will have to do it on the spot. Here's three questions that you should always ask yourself to help you analyze the needs of each particular audience that you'll address. Why is it important for the audience to hear what you have to say? How will what you say affect them? And what's in it for them to listen to you? The next step in the presentation and preparation process is determining the specific objectives of your presentation. This is essentially the desired change in a participant at the end of your presentation. Describe your objective from the audience's point of view and make it as specific as possible. To make your presentation truly effective, you must also make your objective realistic. Ask yourself these four questions. Can you accomplish your objective in both the available preparation time and presentation time? Does your audience have the necessary knowledge and background to achieve your desired results? Do the audience members have the authority to make the decisions that you may want them to make? Are resources available for you to accomplish your objective? Stay tuned, because in our next segment, I'm going to cover the big idea. Welcome back to People IQ. I'm Tony Alessandra, speaking to you about presentation power. Once you know your audience and you're clear about your objectives and purpose, you're ready to start organizing your presentation. The first step is to find your focus. This is the big idea of your presentation, the power punch, and the one thing you want your audience to walk away with. How you translate your material, your message, into benefits for the audience determines its effectiveness. You need to structure your presentation so that it supports your one big idea. Of course, your message will contain more than one idea, but they should all reinforce the primary big idea. There are three major sections of a presentation: the introduction, the main body, and the conclusion. Your first step is to get the audience's attention and convince them to listen to you. This happens in the introduction, and this is where many beginning presenters lose their audience. You must grab them with something vitally interesting to them. Give them an interesting story or example that ties into your big idea. Use a strong, meaningful quotation or startling statistic. Start your speech with power. Make your audience think that they're going to be informed and entertained or enlightened. It's important to write out your introduction completely, word for word. This part of your presentation is too important to leave to chance, hoping that you have the right words when you get there. It also acts as a security blanket. If you can get through those first few minutes, the butterflies will settle down and the rest of your presentation will flow much more easily. The introduction of your speech should take approximately 5 to 15% of the allowed speaking time, and it should prepare the audience for the main points of the presentation, which will come later. Once you've gotten the audience's attention, you need to deliver what you promised in the shortest, most interesting way possible. Two things to keep in mind as you structure your message are the attention cycle of your audience and pacing. It can be discouraging to look into the audience only to note the number of people with drooping eyelids and slumping bodies. Obviously, their attention span has fizzled. There are ways that you, as a presenter, can bring them back up, leaning forward with interest. First, you have to understand the basics of the attention cycle. Studies have shown that material at the beginning and end of a presentation will be remembered more than the material in the middle. Our attention span only lasts for a short time, and then it tapers off. When we sense the end of a message, we pull our attention back in time to catch the last material. Fluctuation of the attention cycle is one of the main reasons we put such emphasis on the introduction and the conclusion. But how do we hold people's attention during the main body of our message? Simple. We create a lot of mini cycles with beginnings, middles, and ends instead of having one big cycle that lasts through the entire presentation. We do this with pacing. You should plan a change of pace approximately every 8 to 12 minutes so that you can break up your talk into mini cycles and keep the audience's attention riveted. You can do this by including appropriate humor, stories, or calls for verbal responses from the audience. Keep these change of pace exercises as physical as possible if your presentation occurs after lunch, when much of our energy is diverted to the digestive system. In addition to changing your pace frequently, here's four techniques that you can use to help your listeners remember more of your message. First is repetition. Let the beginning of your presentation whet their appetites for the main message and the wrap-up, and reinforce the main points of your message and call for action. Main ideas should be stated more than once, using different words to keep the presentation from becoming redundant or boring. Another technique is association and connection. using stories and analogies that connect your ideas to something that the listener already understands will assist the listener in grasping and remembering your message. Another technique is intensity. Your tone of voice can reflect the passion that you have about your message. You can also convey the emotional content of your message by telling gripping, relevant stories and by relating the message to the lives and values of the individuals in the audience. You can add intensity to your visual aids with the use of color, pictures, illustrations, or even audio-video clips. The last technique is involvement. Your presentation should appeal to as many senses as possible because people have different methods of processing information. For instance, visual, auditory, or emotional. Use visual aids, body language, or audio-video clips. Anything that gets the audience involved with the message. How important is the conclusion? What's the secret to effectively communicating your message? Stay tuned to find out on People IQ. Welcome back to People IQ. Today's topic, powerful presentation skills. We've discussed two of the three main sections of a presentation, the introduction and the main body. Let's now cover the final section, the conclusion. Many presenters have a dynamite opening and a powerful, interesting message, only to drop the ball at the end. You need a strong wrap-up. It serves an important role for the audience. This is where you'll sum up and stress the main ideas you want the audience to remember. You call for and encourage appropriate action. Your conclusion should repeat your main ideas. Don't expect the audience to remember a point that they've only heard once. You can signal a wind-up of the presentation with a phrase such as, "Let's review the main points we've covered." When you indicate the conclusion, you give the audience a chance to reaffirm that they know and understand the main points covered during the presentation. Your conclusion should be strong, succinct, and persuasive. Many presenters consider this section almost as important as the introduction, and they write it out word for word. Rehearse your presentation until you feel comfortable with the material, and then visualize yourself presenting it successfully. Olympic athletes use visualization to reach their peak performance. Studies have shown that visualized practice has almost the same effect as actual practice. Visualizing a successful conclusion to any activity gives you a better chance to experience success. Each time you experience success, you become more confident and more expert in your delivery. As you're preparing your presentation, one of your main concerns should be the type of visual aids that you use. In addition to hearing your message, if the members of the audience can have the important points emphasized with good visual aids, they will remember much more of your message. Another reason to pay special attention to your visual aids is that they can be the most dramatic part of your presentation. Your audience will be deeply impressed by your visual aids. Now, whether that impression is good or bad depends on how well you prepare. Visual aids can help you appear more confident, more professional, and much more of an expert. They can add color, humor, and images that you could never convey in words. However, if poorly done, they can undo everything you might accomplish with your words. The most frequent mistake made with slides and overhead transparencies is putting too much information on one single image. Each visual aid should focus on one key idea. Try to visually reinforce the idea that you're presenting with a chart, a graph, a cartoon, a picture, even an illustration. The second most frequent mistake made is using the visual aid as a cue card and reading the information verbatim. The audience can read a lot faster than you can talk, so this can become deadly boring for them. Flip charts and whiteboards are best used with small, informal groups. Overhead transparencies work well with medium-sized formal groups. And large formal audiences generally respond best to slides. Your ability to present in front of groups is one of the most important professional skills that you can develop. To truly develop this skill, however, you have to practice it in front of a real live audience. Force yourself to find opportunities to speak. Volunteer at your professional organizations, civic clubs, or even your church. You might even consider joining Toastmasters. It offers you a weekly experience in a supportive educational environment. Your ability to present to groups of people is a skill which can make a critical difference in your career and is a top predictor of professional success and upward mobility. Master it, and you'll become a master of influence. For People IQ, I'm Tony Alessandra.